name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is perhaps no coincidence that one of the most popular images of God is a fragment of Michelangelo's sublime fresco on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, the creation of Adam. God reaches out to Adam, their fingertips almost touching, as if to impart the spark of life from his finger. God is depicted as an elderly, white-bearded man wrapped in a swishing cloak, while Adam, an impressive, idealized figure, is naked and vulnerable. A reminder that man is created in the image and likeness of God. They are nevertheless not on the same level, like two human beings shaking hands. It is thought that Michelangelo, with his well-documented experience in human anatomy, may have taken his inspiration for the subject from the medieval hymn, Veni Creator Spiritus, Come Holy Spirit, which asks the finger of the paternal right hand to give the faithful speech. Touch is something of which we are often uncertain, and as a people, we have tended to be rather distant and formal towards public displays of such intimacy, even though in the UK they've moved a little, influenced by their European neighbours. But Michelangelo saw how ultimate creativity could be expressed in the sense of touch, especially where the divine and the eternal touches the human and the finite. Aristotle identified touch as having a universal quality, being the only sense that an animal cannot live without, something we have just for the sake of being, whereas the other senses we have for well-being. Imagine for a moment, then, that what God is doing in Michelangelo's painting is imparting not only life itself, but specifically the gift of touch. This takes us ultimately to the incarnation and to the body of Jesus. In him, God experiences our sense of hot and cold, of weightedness, gravity, of the impact of what is unyielding and solid in contrast with the comfort of what is soft, warm, and safe. It is clear that Jesus was not afraid of the intimacy of touch, and it is worth the effort to trace in the Gospels the ways in which he touched and kissed people. In him, God touches the life he has created and uses the sense of touch wherever possible to redeem life suppressed. Even to touch him, as one desperate woman was brave enough to risk, was enough to experience something of the electricity that Michelangelo sought to convey. Around the events of the Last Supper, Jesus uses a sense of touch in a variety of interesting ways. Most strikingly, in declaring the bread and the wine to be his body and blood. Through his abiding presence in the Eucharist, we can go on touching him and keep in touch with the divine. But there is another moment revealed in tonight's gospel. Despite it being customary in that culture to wash one's feet after a journey, this task was often carried out by a servant, and the disciples were puzzled, even scandalized, to observe Jesus get up from the table, take off his outer robe, tie a towel around his waist, pour water into a basin, and begin to wash their feet. It was a shocking reminder of the way they assumed status and apportioned it to others. It required as much humility to submit to someone greater than them performing this intimate task as it did for someone greater to be willing to perform it. But in this distinctive moment of loving touch, Jesus is trying to convey something greater. "Do you know what I have done to you?" he asks. We think we do, because he goes on to explain that blessing comes through serving one another, just as Jesus showed them. One of the first acts of Pope Francis was to wash the feet of young offenders in a prison in Rome. And in that moment, he rescued this practice from folkloric remoteness in a shoe-wearing society and placed it back on the agenda of the church. What if we are to plunge into the depths of the symbol and not merely draw a lesson with a mental note? How can we get our hands dirty for Jesus today? "Do you know what I have done for you?" You would if he had washed your feet. Who could forget that disturbing intimacy? But in reality, it is now off the agenda of many churches out of embarrassment at trite replications of this divine intimacy. But perhaps that's the point, to be disturbed in a way that you can never forget, to be reminded when we err that once we were washed and caressed by the hands of love and made clean. Martin Warner tells the story of a religious sister who worked in a hospice in London. On one occasion, she bathed a woman whose body was wasted by a life in prostitution and who was very close to death. As Sister Lorna washed and dried the much-used body with great care, the woman said to her, "Sister, you're the first person who has ever touched me." Human dignity is never so effaced that we do not recognize a loving touch that takes nothing but gives so much by way of restoration. Tonight, when you have received the bread and the wine, look down at your feet and hear him ask you, "Do you know what I have done for you?" And tell him what you know. Lord, you break open our communities, our identities, our images of you. Open hand and heart to receive this uncalled for gift, this fractured food, this feast where untouchables meet and are touched by the divine. Through Jesus Christ, the Passion of God. Amen.